The TV show Supergirl will introduce a trans superhero called Dreamer. Because the character is both trans and a dreamer, she will be introduced as Mike Pence's nemesis.
Ivanka Trump is closing her namesake fashion brand so that she can focus on the work she's doing in Washington. For example, she vows to make sure that every inner city student has access to 6-inch stilettos.
Jeff Sessions spoke at a high school leadership conference for conservative teens. In related news, there's officially a conference that has more nerds than Comic-Con.
NASA has fashioned a probe that can land on the surface of the sun. Once they're sure that the probe can safely land on the surface of the sun, they're going to make sure it can land on the surface of Chris Hemsworth. I flubbed that one.
Yeah, it's the hotness of the sun. Yeah, which is...
Doesn't make sense.
I actually wanted to take that joke, but I felt like it was going to be funnier if you said it. But that's right. He is very hot. Josh Hader, the Milwaukee Brewers pitcher whose racist, sexist, and homophobic tweets went viral, received a warm welcome home from Brewers fans. Brewers fans are not offended by his tweets since he never insulted beer.
And finally, young Republican staffers and lobbyists in Washington, D.C. say they are receiving insults and hate speech on dating apps. Fortunately for them, they have just created their own dating app called Pootender.
The Trump Report starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Because he's so hot, it's like landing on the hotness of Chris Hemsworth. Welcome to the Trump Report. Thanks for the snazzy new intro from our fearless leader, Maria Menounos. Mm-hmm. We are here on a sultry, steamy...
Speaking of hotness.
Yes. I believe Tamara came here on a rickshaw. She's still trying to cool down.
She's been seen all over the place.
It's a balmy 103 degrees here in Hollywood, and we welcome you to the Trump Report. I am Christian Bott, joined as almost always, except I think for last week, Chelsea Glacia.
Hello, everybody.
And Tamara Brown, our joke smith extraordinaire.
Hello.
And the man with a plan, because you definitely have a plan. I'm sure you do. Scott Moore.
Hey, guys.
An escape plan from the country if impeachment doesn't happen?
Is that what you were doing all those
That's
weeks?
That's what I was doing, scouting my escape plan, yes.
It's probably not that hard. Anyway, so much to talk about. Join us in the chat if you're watching live. And if you're watching after the fact, please leave comments on the YouTube video because I do go back in and see what everybody has to say. And sometimes I will even answer you. We have... so many loyal fans who watch the show every week because they love us and they love what we have to say. So thank you so much for watching every single week. Fun little Clash song. Was thinking a little bit about Rockin' the Casbah and Overnight Ran. And President Trump, with the fire and fury that he really delivers best on, Twitter, telling... I almost called him the Shah. What happened?
I know.
What happened to my head? The Ayatollah.
Same thing.
And you guys always name the Ayatollah. That they would suffer the consequences if they ever insulted America again. It's basically sort of like an old 50s movie. Like, hey, not in front of my chick. That's basically what President Trump said. Because it was such a manly display of power. I'm going to start with the manliest person on the panel. Scott Moore, what do you think?
I was like, don't start with me then.
Well, certainly not me.
Scott, not
fine,
me.
I will go first.
No, but Scott, you hear this, you see this, you read this, and no, it's not surprising, none of that. It's not even the reaction to him doing it. It's like, of course he's going to do stuff like this. But what do you think the impact is? You know, is Iran a bear that it's okay to poke with a stick once in a while?
It was just like, well, because it was in all caps, you know.
Yeah.
Then it was really serious.
It's a whole other level.
Right, when you put all caps in there.
What's next?
I know.
Bolding.
Bold, underlining.
Italicized.
That's going to be the next step. You know it's really serious.
Well, he already does the all text. All cap texting to Putin late at night, like, you know, you up?
Yeah.
You know, so obviously it just, he still had the caps locked down.
He did.
Anyway, what do you think the, do we want to go worst case scenario or just what might happen in the near future?
I mean, again, it's another stupid tweet from a stupid orange clown, but...
Are you talking about Ron McDonald like that? I will throw down right now.
But
he was at my birthday party.
He's at mine too.
Yeah, my 35th birthday party. Anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm like, yeah, he was at mine last month. But yeah, I mean, look, it's more of the empty threat. Let me show you how big I am and tough I am. Like we remember with North Korea around this time last year. We see
yeah, but look how that look how that went.
I know.
So is he going to meet with somebody over there?
Yeah, now he's going to meet with them, and then they're going to become best friends. And
you know. Dennis Rodman will have some weed company finances trip over to Iran.
And speaking of, there'll be McDonald's everywhere in Iran.
And then everybody wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it's a show of power. You know, I guess you got to basically show people. Tamara, are you surprised that somebody with such tiny hands is able to text and tweet in all caps?
Am I surprised at this point? What are we? Almost 2 years into this
took a long time.
Nonsense. I think this is an example of, and I didn't look it up, but apparently the Secretary of State about Iran before the text went out had a very informative speech about plans moving forward with Iran, and then this text comes out, and then that's all anyone's focusing on now.
Sure.
And so again, I didn't even. I meant to look up the speech, but I didn't. But I heard it was great.
So the distraction worked on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's an example of, and look, you know, you can dislike some of the people in the administration, but they have jobs to do. And for them to do their jobs well, I guess President Trump would have to go into hibernation or something, because it's like, even when you think you've made some progress, it just, you know, he gets probably a literal bee in his bonnet, and you know, in trying to swat it away, he sends an angry text.
But these are the things that, like, as far, you know, obviously it's insanity when he tells his base not to listen to anything that the media says. But this is one of the times when the media does need to do a better job of not being an enabler for his bad behavior and focusing on, when he does things like this at this point, we need to just ignore it and focus on, you know, things that the reasonable politicians are doing and pay attention to that, so that he's not getting the, you know, he's a whining 5-year-old that just wants attention, and then you give it to them and you're not teaching them anything. Not that a 70-year-old man is going to learn new tricks at this point, but it's just like, I think the media does need to do a better job of not giving him the outrage that he is seeking by doing things like this.
Or to really blatantly call him out instead of kind of keeping it nice and being like, oh, well, he misspoke or whatever. Just say, he lied. He blatantly lied about something or whatever, instead of being like using those fancy, nice words to kind of smooth it over and really call him out and say this, because it is kind of ridiculous that they let him get away with it.
I don't hear the media more saying, like, what Fox News said when Obama was president. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a distraction from this, mm-hmm. that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Right now is when we need the media to be saying, actually, this text was a distraction, perhaps from A, mm-hmm. B, or C. These are the things that are going on behind the scenes that he probably doesn't want you to see.
Well, the fact that the NFL came up again, it's like, so, you know, there must be some program where on Twitter you can have sort of a version of speed dial, you know, where you've got something loaded and ready to send out, because it's like, oh, there's trouble. I'm going to go on off about the NFL again. And, you know, and that's kind of, it's like the canary in the coal mine. It's the, oh, wait a minute, the NFL. It's like, we have to see what's really going on, because if he mentions that, then he's actually worried about something. And I think the timing of the NFL in particular was the Michael Cohen, apparently, with the home taping system.
Home taping.
But
this just gets better.
Well, the interesting thing about that, which we might as well move on to that, is that apparently the Trump team was well aware that those conversations were being recorded, and yet still talked about paying Playboy Playmates. I guess that, I don't know. I don't know that he's actually scared, but it's like somebody in the organization is apparently concerned because of, you know, the tweet storm that follows. Now, Chelsea, you're not a recovering lawyer anymore, right? You're just all back into it, right? I always say you're a recovering lawyer, but you're
relapsed.
All in, right? You're relapsed. That's all right, though. One day at a time, you know. Maybe you won't do any lawyering tomorrow.
Nope,
right?
I'm actually set for one tomorrow and the next day, and I just came out of one like 3 hours ago.
So it's like a part time. I was gonna be like, oh, part time, but now it's like
you're like a social lawyer. You only lawyer when you're in a courtroom, right? You just don't do it on weekends by yourself, because that would be sad and a cry for help. So talk a little bit about some of these logistics here in terms of, you know, recording a client and you know, maybe letting an independent prosecutor know that, you have recordings of the guy who's president now, you know, saying things that maybe he shouldn't have.
Yeah. So there's two fun issues here about when can you record somebody. Some states require both people to give their permission. Mm-hmm. So in California, this wouldn't have happened because both the participants need to okay it. In New York and other states, there's a one person approval of it, which is always kind of weird because mm-hmm. it's like the person who's being recorded right. approved it. I didn't. That's weird. So fortunately for us, New York is one of the states where only Michael Cohen had to know about it if he decided to record. So fine. And then whether they were privileged or not, they were decided not privileged. And so that's how we heard about them. And that is your 20-second legal analysis.
Yeah. And he says that I guess he turned over 12 recordings. So do you think that these will end up on Spotify? I mean, will there be possibly, you know, for those of us who still like to have physical media? And
there'll be one of those Yanni versus whatever that one was. Everybody will be listening to
Laurel.
It.
Yeah.
I thought you meant Yanni, the flute player or whatever.
And I was just like,
but you know what?
I was going to win a Grammy next year.
You made an excellent point, Tamara, because these recordings should be set to music. Mm-hmm. And I think that they would already probably, you know, go high up on the chart. Me personally, I want these recordings to be released on vinyl because I want to look at the artwork mm-hmm. and I want to read all the indictments that get stuffed in there. But so we don't know what there might possibly be in these other ones. I mean, the fact that we're hearing about this one, you know, my hunch is that this would probably be the best one. But you never know. Maybe there's more to it.
Saving the best.
So is there any way that these are inadmissible in this kind of, you know, even say you're not building a case against the president for a second, you know, I mean, is there, because you said in New York, you don't have to get the permission, right?
Right. For a recording to be admissible, correct.
Okay. Which is interesting because, you know, I think that I could see a lot of scenarios where you should need to get someone's permission.
Although
to record
it seems
them.
Very bizarre that you think if you're talking to your lawyer,
exactly,
that's that your lawyer would be able to record you. And the state of New York is like, yeah, it's not that great. It looks a little trickery and a little shady, but it's all right.
Yeah, no, the bar in New York is like, you know, we're just now starting to have concerns about Michael Cohen. Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't do things to the letter of the law, pun intended. So, I don't know, I guess this is, you know, these are things that we keep on. Now, Scott, when you hear about this, is the impeachment clock move any faster, slower, stay about the same?
Well, I was thinking, you know, the ones that they decided that were admissible and not executive privilege, I'm like, well, maybe their whole tactic is these are not the really
juicy
ones, and then they can be like, oh, look, see, there was nothing that major going on. This is all witch hunt, and it's going to be part of their tactic. Because at first I was wondering, like, why would they let some of these be released? But then I thought they must not have been anything too juicy, and then they're going to be able to come back and say, look, we were honest, we let these out, and you can see there's nothing else there. But they won't let the other ones, they'll call the other ones executive privilege.
In the chat, our Scott Brown says the crime fraud exception pierces any privilege. That sounds like fancy lawyering. Chelsea, if there's anything wrong with that, you speak up. But somebody strung a bunch of words together that sounded smart, so I'm like, must be true.
Your lawyer can't like actively help you hide a fraud.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, that's why a lot of times lawyers are like, I don't want to know if you did it. Let's just work on, you know.
Yeah.
Let's just work.
You're going to like recruit me to help you cover it up and then... Then there's nothing privileged about.
Let's just work on the fact that you took a nap before you got on the red eye to Chicago, OJ. Okay, let's just focus on that. I don't want to know what you did. I'll get rid of this bag. I'm not going to look in it. And Tamara, our friend Storage Yard Resident, points out that President Trump is actually 72. So you see, you made a point that he was 70. You weren't giving him enough credit.
Yeah. You're right.
70 plus.
You're right.
Meant.
We are fake news.
Yeah, we definitely.
June 16th.
Yeah, that's true. We are definitely fake news.
And what a strapping 72
yes,
he is.
Yes.
And by the way, Lady Goth in the chat, when I introduced Scott as being the manliest person on the panel, she wrote manly with 10 question marks and then... Oh, you were joking. Exactly. I think that's offensive.
She's
How
correct.
How dare you?
See, she knows. She's correct.
That's true.
She absolutely.
Is, yeah.
Absolutely correct.
All right. We'll see. So
and it was a great joke, too.
Now I've shouted out people in the chat.
Yes, and so, it was a great joke.
You can say that again. That's fine. Anyway, Tamara, do you, like we're saying with Scott, do you feel like there's something to these recordings, or is it just at this point, is he as close to bulletproof as a guy can be? You know, I mean,
there's polls.
There's a recording of him saying that you should, you know, grab women somewhere you shouldn't ever grab a woman. And he was elected president after that. So I mean, what are we going to get on this?
Look, by the way, speaking of bringing that up, you know, Billy Bush, his wife officially filed for divorce.
Yeah.
So this man lost his job. He lost his wife. He
lost the Today Show. No,
everything.
Granted, they did pay him $10 million to not work.
Yes.
But he, and you know, just, you know, and the day that Matt Lauer got fired, he was probably like, oh, mother, yeah. Come on. That was going to be me. I was going to take that. And now Hoda has my job.
There's just a negativity surrounding. Nobody will ever hear Billy Bush's name without having a negative association attached to it.
Oh, I always had a negative association attached to it.
The other person
was already there.
Involved in that lewd conversation has been nothing but rewarded. And it's just unbelievably. What was the original question? I don't know how we got on to that.
The recordings.
Topic.
So do you upset. Think that these recordings are going
to
make
I'm starting to believe more and more that, I mean, Trump really does have a deal with the devil, with the way that he just cannot, he can't lose. Like, he cannot lose. He could eat a puppy on live TV and his base.
Wait, sorry. Cooked or raw? I think it makes
a distinction. Rally behind why that puppy deserved to die.
Exactly.
He cannot do wrong.
That puppy was a bad puppy.
It was socialist.
Believe me. He deserved it.
I don't care what when Robert Mueller and everything. And I asked this last week. I said, if they actually had anything, why hasn't it come out? And you said because they're making sure that. He's crossing every T and dotting every I and fact-checking and making sure that nothing has any holes on it whatsoever so that when they present their case, it's
solid.
Yeah, solid.
And
so
sorry.
That's awesome. But I just at this point, I just can't help but think like you can't take them down. I don't know. I don't know.
Gosh, that's so.
It's depressing, but you're kind of right in that sense, like we've talked about, because they've been doing this whole narrative about the witch hunt and everything else, that even if they do reveal something, they'll say it was all against him. And like we talked about, you have to have 67 senators to be able to remove him from office. So being able to get those, even if Democrats were miraculously able to take back the Senate, which is already hard enough, they would still need Republican support to come over and to be able to have him removed from office. So, you know, sure, he'd be wounded if he's impeached when he runs for re-election, but he's still there.
Do you have a sense in your head, best case scenario, for how, like, just very hypothetically, that Democrats pick up the Senate? Like, what would the balance be? Would it be like 51, 52?
50, yeah.
So do you feel probably pretty confident that there's probably 15 Republicans that you could just flat out buy off? And just be like, no, come on, just get rid of this guy. Like, we'll give you more money than he would.
I think what we've talked about week after week, it's really going to take that base support eroding. And once that happens and then they feel that it's not now in their political best interest to be able to get rid of him, then they will. But when you have Republicans supporting him, no matter what, then they're going to be too nervous to do that.
I'll let you get to your point in a second, but I heard that Republicans, I believe, like actual, you know, registered Republicans, Republican voters, like answer to the question, do you support President Trump? 88%.
Yeah.
So the base has not eroded at this point.
But that was actually going to be my question for Scott, because they said there was another poll that came out after the Putin meeting in Helsinki that Republicans approved of what he did. I'm wondering, what are the numbers of Republicans, like the actual number of registered Republicans, the same now as it was
are you saying
it's actually it actually has dropped. And also part of the other thing is too, like, how many independents that were sort of on the line that maybe were lukewarm towards him are now gone. But yeah, that's true. The number has actually dropped.
Okay,
the number has risen as far as the support, but the actual overall number of Republicans has fallen.
Okay, so that's why the concentration of
self-identified
two
Republicans
or three.
Has fallen, yeah.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, there's like two or three less.
Three guys in Orange County that are like, nah, I'm not Republican anymore.
But like, sadly, the thing that's really...
I like to surf. I care about the environment.
Exactly.
I'm switching parties.
But the thing that's really is going to affect their support is the economy. So if the economy starts to go and it really starts to affect people, that's when people are going to move
shall
away from
we talk
him.
Before we move on, it is a point that we often make. How long did it take to put Watergate together? Because I wanted to sort of throw that in there.
It was like 18 months.
Yeah. So it took a little while.
It takes a long time. And again, these things don't happen quickly. And because we don't hear from him, because he can't really comment on it, there, it's kind of one-sided right now because all we're hearing is from Trump and his surrogates, but we're not hearing anything from
And the
Mueller.
Real question is, are we going to get a movie half as good as All the President's Men? Because I don't think so. I don't think that this movie will be as good.
A reality show, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Soap opera.
Hosted by Trump about his own impeachment.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't it be great to have the reenactments, too? When they're,
yeah, it's
those
like,
really
oh,
bad ones
need,
when they're in
need
court.
To get, we need to get somebody to play President Trump. He's like, I'll do it. Yeah, it's fine. Or maybe Don Jr.
Yeah. Ross Matthews from E.
Just like put a lot God, of orange Ross, makeup on, and you know,
Ross would be a great Trump.
The wig, putting that wig together, that would be amazing. That's a you know, Oscar winning makeup artist. Right there,
the only show that I want to see, or the only recording I want to hear, is the has to be somebody
the P-tape?
Who
the P-tape?
Stuck a recorder in the meeting. I'm trying to ignore that.
Yeah, we noticed.
No, come on. That would be great.
We're just being manly over here.
Stuck a recorder in the room with Trump and Putin when they were by themselves for 2 hours.
Yeah.
If Obama had been with anybody for 2 hours,
without any, I mean,
they would have had him. He would have been impeached the next day.
2 hours. What do you think they talked about for 2 hours?
By the
hours?
Way, least surprising thing that can happen with that is the Russian or possibly both interpreters poisoned within the next couple weeks. Because that's how they, because it's like, if there's anything for them to, like, if they don't get poisoned in the near future, then there probably wasn't anything that interesting. You know what I mean? I think that, but if anybody dies suspiciously, you're like, oh, now
or
we
or just a tongue cut out, even. Yeah. That's fine, too.
Yeah, but you know, poisoning, it's a lot less hands-on. You don't get as messy, you know? Anyway, so we were talking about the economy. We should move on to this. The trade war is in full effect, and the Trump administration plans to offer $12 billion in emergency aid for farmers hurt by tariffs because, you know, things are going so well for farmers in this country. You know what we should do is we should get into a trade war that makes things harder. Mm-hmm. Chelsea, $12 billion in emergency aid for farmers. Can you think of something that you would rather spend that money on?
You know, oh my. God, that's actually, I was looking it up before the show to try and refresh for myself, like what $12 billion means, because we're throwing out these huge numbers all the time these days. And so it can
seem
pretty.
If this was a $1 billion bill, there would be 12 of these. Okay? Anyway, go on.
I feel so much better.
No problem. Happy to help.
But $12 billion, like $1 billion a month, you can think of it that way. Mm-hmm. The thing is $12 billion, it's a lot of money. And that's only going to help farmers. And how long is that really going to help them for? So this is, don't make no mistake about it, a form of welfare. So if Trump wants to do this, just be honest about what it is. It's called welfare because you're not letting the market dictate prices, or he's messing with the market, so he doesn't really believe in a free market. So what else? What about the steel and aluminum fallout from our tariffs on Chinese aluminum and steel and from Canada and Mexico? I mean, how there's going to be no end to the industries and the people that need aid. So $12 billion will be the tip of the iceberg because people will say, well, what about me? What about me? What about me? And this is just going to be a very expensive experiment.
Especially when we already have huge deficits. And the other thing to add to it, too, is it's part of Trump's, you know, MO is to be like, stir up the pot, make all this chaos, and then come back and act like you're the hero because you've stirred up all this chaos and drama and be like, here, now I'm going to fix it for
this
you.
This reminds
so
me.
So here
anybody,
you go.
Sorry,
let me give you some money. No,
did
but I mean,
anybody
that's what
see
I was
the
say.
Netflix special that Dave Chappelle did? It was like a 2 shows in a row, and the second one was exactly about that. If you haven't seen it, that's what it's reminding
Wait,
me
Dave
of.
Chappelle, the comedian?
Yeah.
It's stand-up special. It's not about politics.
Okay, because it sounded like it wasn't. I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
no.
I'm like, I want to watch those, but all of a sudden, I don't know if I do. No, okay, but, so he no, talks about it in
about
a comedy
this whole
setting.
Thing, okay. In a comedy setting and about the industry, about people who make themselves appear to be your heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute that you try and get out of a, you know, a bad situation that these people think that they've helped you escape, you realize, well, they were the ones that got me into the
right.
situation.
They're the ones
in the
that
first
make
place.
The problem, and now they want to go solve it.
I don't know why, but all I can see in front of my eyes is Al Sharpton. Tamara, when it comes to $12 billion, any ideas what could be a good thing to do with that. And I don't mean, you know, like shopping spree.
I think he needs to help the comedy writer industry with that $12 billion. Because yeah, you know, it's going to be really expensive to import a new computer from China. And I think
you think that's where
that's
it should
the
go?
Industry yeah. that is hardest hit. And that's where it should be put. By the way, I want to make sure we have time to talk about the Jeff Sessions at the
we can talk about that in a moment if you like.
That's what my opinion is.
I was going to say $12 billion. I have to agree with you on that one because it's so much harder to be a stand-up comedian now when you want to make the jokes on Trump because then you just get so upset.
Well, that
and then you're angry and that's it's the not thing as fun. So it's first, really because of him.
At
so
first, you might have thought like, oh, okay, this is going to be good for comedy, and then it's just everybody gets so angry. I mean, you've got Whoopi Goldberg, you know, throwing people off The View because she doesn't want to talk to them, you know, and it's like, wait, you're a comedian. Do you remember that? No, I don't think you do. Jumbojack Flash is a great movie. But anyway, I think that comedy apparently has gotten very hard for people to do. And look, you know, plenty. I don't know about you, Tamara, but there are plenty of people that I know. It's like, oh, yeah, I don't talk about politics because you can't win. Because like, even if the majority of your room is going to agree with you, you're still going to have people like, oh, well, I hate them now, so I'm not going to laugh at their other stuff that's not political. So if you're doing politics, that's got to be your thing, and you got to be all in on that.
I've seen people do it really well. I have seen Dana Gould is one comedian who immediately after the 2016 election, he had a very I won't paraphrase it, but he had such a good take on it that I thought was a very, very bipartisan, you know. I've seen some really good takes. I happen plug for my own show, but I run a monthly show at an American Legion, so it is a very mixed bag crowd that's seen. Even though it's Hollywood, there's Republicans and Democrats, and that's why I enjoy doing that show there so much. So it can be done. But what you're saying, I agree with, is because as far as like television and media, as opposed to live stand up. Because that's very rare. Most people don't see live stand-up very often. But as far as what we're presented with in the media for comedy, it's always completely left-leaning. And they say that that's why, you know, Oscar viewership was down this year because conservatives don't want to hear the liberal BS all the time. And, you know.
Yeah, but what I'll say to that is if there's like another Titanic, you know, if there's like a movie that people are that excited about, I think that's what will happen.
There was a lot of factors,
But you're right. People don't watch those award shows in a lot of the country because they're like, you know, I just don't want to be scolded and lectured. And some people who are even maybe somewhat leaning towards the left, but they're like, yeah, I'm not all in. I don't need to be.
And that's
told
why I was so upset that Roseanne had to shoot herself in the foot and do what she did because her show was so good.
I thought it was a good show.
It was such a compromise of opposing viewpoints, and I thought it was so what we needed right now, in my opinion. And I mean, obviously angry for her for having such bigoted, closed-minded views, but also angry for her for ruining something that we so desperately needed in entertainment right now.
I mean, I'm angry at Ambien, but to the same point you're making,
you've
obviously
always been angry at Ambien.
I sure have. All right, so by request, we're playing the hits here, Tamara. You wanted to talk about how, we mentioned it at the top, Jeff Sessions, he was speaking to an event. This was earlier today. Look at that. And the crowd began to chant lock her up. So it's like, hey, remember this one? And he didn't incite the lock her up, which we've, you know, seen President Trump kind of lean back into a couple times. Hey, remember that? Yeah, the kids. You know, the kids. They love that. What about this spoke to you?
Several things. First of all, anytime a Republican starts bringing up Hillary at this point in time, I'm just like, I'm reminded of this meme that I saw a while ago about New York versus Los Angeles, the rivalry. And the meme was something like, New Yorkers, I effing hate Los Angeles. Los Angeles, weird, I don't even think about you. And that's how I feel about, because it's like, they can't get Hillary out of their mind. And it's like, she's just living her life now. Like, it doesn't matter to her.
Getting
like,
ready for her run in 2020. Living her life, getting ready, yes.
You
yes.
seriously think that she's going to be ready for a run?
200%.
I will bet money.
Every day, I'm more convinced that she's going to
be. I would bet money that is not at all happening. But anyway.
Ooh, let's see it right here.
What are we? Yes.
A dollar.
So this organization...
Turning Point USA.
Turning Point USA. So I was looking up this organization. I had never heard of it.
And by the way, it's specifically their high school leadership summit.
It's the whole purpose of the organization is to encourage young people to get on board with conservative values. And actually, in their mission statement, it doesn't sound like a bad idea to me at all, because their mission statement is about fiscal conservative. They promote capitalism, and they are against government interference. So to me, it sounds like it's like traditional Republican values, not traditional religious-wise, but traditional just fiscally conservative. And that's what they promote on the website and everything like that. So it doesn't sound terrible until Charlie Kirk, who is the founder of this organization. Have any of you heard of him?
I have heard his name, actually.
So he's like 24 years old, but he's been a Republican pundit now since he was like 20 or 21. Like, he's been all over Fox News and everything, because the right is touting him as just like our millennial savior. Mm-hmm. See, millennials can be conservative. And They say that he's so intelligent, not just for his age, but just in general, and he's so well-spoken and all of these things. So this is his organization that he founded. So at this conference where they had Jeff Sessions speak, when I read about it this morning for the first time, I thought that here, like with the chanting, whatever, come to find out there was 800 people there, which, as far as conferences go, I was like, that's all you could get from, like, really? 800 people?
Where
that's,
was it?
That's not that impressive.
Where it was doesn't it? Say was where it was.
Say where it was?
Conservative
yeah. They said it was from 40 different high schools. Again, that's not that. That's the best you can do in the entire nation.
That gives me hope.
In the entire nation, 800 teenagers wanted to go to this rally.
So let's be fair. It's the summer. You know, so it's like there's better places to be than watch Jeff Sessions.
100%, 100%, exactly. It's the summer. You're basically saying they would rather watch Teen Mom than go to this effing conference.
I would definitely watch. I would be watching. I would be watching Teen Mom for the first time in my life. But I would rather
anytime over listening to him.
The conservative teens would rather be polishing their sparkle guns than than going to this rally. So it's hilarious that Jeff Sessions showed up to a rally that gathered 800 students from the entire country. But this Charlie Kirk, I was like, seeing the mission statement of what this organization is about and hearing them describe him as so intelligent and well-spoken and stuff, I thought I would really, I this sounds like a person I really want to be on board with, because I want more than anything to follow a Republican who I really respect and appreciate their point of view, even though I disagree with it. But immediately I clicked on his Twitter, and the very first thing that came up is this video that he shot that's touted as liberals hate America, proof that they hate America, and they want MS-13 to succeed, and all of the usual just absurd, ridiculous rhetoric. And it's just kind of like, all right.
And all your dreams were dashed.
I want a Republican with a reasonable point of view, and it just can't ever materialize.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this. I think that there are – it's not that hard to find Republicans with a reasonable point of view. It's just hard for them to like, oh, do you want to go on the record and speak about President Trump? And they're like, oh, you can't win. You know, I mean, you have people who are noted conservative voices that write for, say, like the Weekly Standard and the National Review. There's plenty of people like Bill Kristol. You know, you have people like that who are just like, oh, no, I don't like this guy, you know. And then so I think you finding them crop up a lot less on places where you used to see them. You know, I think that they're like, OK, no, you're the wrong kind of smart guy.
Are your definition of reasonable Republicans claiming that illegal immigrants crossing the border are all gangsters and criminals, though? I'm yet to meet a Republican who doesn't have that point of view, and to me that's absurd and ridiculous.
No, I think that anybody that I've heard talk about it, they'll be like, well, no, not all of them, but they will say, but there sure are a lot. And you run into problems. You know, you can find people that are reasonable on, say, like, you got 10 issues in here. let's pick issues out of the hat. Eventually, you're going to get to the one that they're crazy on. And there are definitely people on the left that you can say that about, too. There are some things you're like, that was a bit much.
Oh, for sure.
I don't want to use any examples because I don't want to upset anybody on the panel. But there are things, and I don't mean, I'm not talking about, I actually can't think of one. But, you know, there are some things that, you know, are a little bit less mainstream, you know, that not everybody 100%. Agrees.
That video that I clicked on Charlie Kirk's Twitter page, it was him at a an anti-immigration rally, and so he was confronting people with it, saying things like, so you believe the United States is racist? And they would be like, yes. And he goes, well, then how do you explain the fact that Asian Americans and Indian Americans, on average, have higher salaries than everyone else? And then it was like, crickets, 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 no response. So it was like, obviously, you know, and the left does the same thing when they do these interviews, too. They're focusing on the people who have no comeback.
They want to have that gotcha moment.
Want to have that gotcha moment. So, I mean, that's just, I'm just agreeing with the fact that, like, there's no, the left is smarter than the right. I mean, like,
there's not time to talk about that. I'm saving a topic for next week, but there's a new darling of the left who is showing herself not to be as smart as everybody wants her to be.
We have to save this?
We do, because it's, I can't think of it. You know,
he's
who
talking
I'm talking about
Alexandria or
we'll play a game with quotes of hers next week. There was too much that I couldn't get to it. But what I wanted to end on is, Tamara, I know I wanted to, your independent study extra credit, we have to again save for another week because, look what time it is.
It's been a month overdue.
Hey, if you want to be able to talk about that, then President Trump has to be quiet and turn off his Twitter, and then we'll have plenty of time to talk about issues. You know, we can do whole issues on everything. The last thing that we're going to talk about is somebody that Scott and I have referenced a few times over the course of the show. Larry Sabato has put the Democrats' chances at better than 50% of taking the House, not the Senate, but the House. So, this is the first time that he's giving this prediction, and they need 23 seats to take the House, and Republicans are defending 21 open seats. So, you know, there's a lot of math involved, but you're like, well, that doesn't seem as hard, you know, 23 out of 41, you know, all that. But he's calling them a soft favorite. And, you know, at least the last couple of years, there are plenty of soft Democrats out there. So I guess it makes sense that they would be the soft favorite. It's just comedy. It's just jokes. It's all right. Are you at all encouraged when you hear something like this? Or is it just you specifically?
Oh, me.
Scott?
Okay.
I mean, I'll ask everyone. But
The man.
Yeah, yes, the man.
That's right. I think he's being very cautious because, you know, he was one of the pundits in 2016 with his crystal ball that was like, Hillary's going to win.
His crystal ball had been so good up until that point.
And him and a lot of the other people. So he's still getting the burn from that. A lot of people love to troll him on Twitter every time he makes a comment. But I'm definitely encouraged only because just looking back at history, going all the way back to the Civil War, it's basically pretty much the first midterm election, the opposition party of the president in power normally always gains seats, and we have a generally unpopular president. The only thing that makes me nervous is, again, are we going to have the turnout that we need? Because we've still seen some of these primary elections where we think we're going to have good turnout, and it's basically stayed the same as years past. We've seen some encouraging signs. And also the gerrymandering, which is another issue that means that Democrats have to win by such a higher number, anywhere from between 6 to 8 points to be on, to basically be able to take back the House. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges, just like for the Senate. It's definitely stacked against the Democrats, so they have to really get the turnout and really get the position to make these changes. But yes, I am cautiously optimistic because I do think just in general history, this is what normally tends to happen.
On top of the turnout and the gerrymandering, now people are being purged from the voter rolls.
And that too.
So we all have to like check our status and make sure that we're on there.
Like, which is what happened in LA County. Like just in, for instance, I know that was an error, but I wasn't on mine either. And I had to do a provisional ballot for the primary.
Mm. Yeah. One of those people. What I always say on election day is if they hand you the provisional ballot, just go home because it's not going to get counted. You know, they're just like, we're going to shut you up and we're going to give you this piece of paper, but we're not going to do anything with it ever. And you know, that's almost as true troubling is how many Twitter followers I lost. But yes, it's definitely a
that's what we should do with the 12 billion is yes. make sure that we're all on the voter rolls.
You know, I thought you and were going to say
voting is secure.
And, I thought you were going to say we should buy me some more Twitter followers, and I was all in on that. Tamara, the final thought on all of this. So 17 House races have kind of shifted, and that's why this has happened. Do you feel like, you know, we talk a lot about sort of some of the differing opinions out there and how it would be nice to find more common ground than we tend to be able to. And I don't mean you and I, you know, I just mean we as a country. Do you feel like there is any kind of change where it's like, you know, people who were, you know, like we've said, we're about 2 years into the Trump presidency. Do you think people who were a little bit like, well, I didn't like him, but let's see how it goes. Do you feel like things are changing a little bit in that way? Are you getting those rumblings out there? Or is it people liked him before and now they just love him, love him, love him?
Over Christmas, I worked managed this like a Santa booth at the mall where kids taking photos with Santa. And my Santa was from Orange County, and he told me right away that he voted for Trump. And he also hated guns, and he was a lifelong surfer, so he loved the environment. So I was like, why? It was his hatred for Hillary. And he says he has regretted nothing ever since the man got into office. He has regretted it ever since. So...
Well,
let's hope everybody who voted for Trump is like Santa.
Well, look, you see it a lot. I see these words put together, you know, various places. You know, mostly I see it on Twitter. It's like, you know, like even after the Helsinki comments, I'm like, yep, still glad it wasn't Hillary. So the people still are pretty dug in on that because of how much they disliked her.
And he was one of these people that was just like, no, I'm all supportive of women. I think I would vote for women in a heartbeat, just not her. I'm like, really? You think that? That's adorable that you think that. You mean to say that the next woman that should be in a position to make that sort of move, the hellstorm that's going to come up against her, digging things up from her back and calling her shrill and everything that happened to Hillary, you honestly think that that's not going to happen to the next woman that comes along?
He thinks you're talking about Ivanka, so he's ready to vote for Ivanka. I mean, that's where he's positioned.
I mean, there's a good point, Christian. For the men who hated Hillary so much that they don't like Trump, but they voted for him just so that it's not her, that's about right. You got to get some hot chick, big melons, and they will absolutely vote for her because... Yep. That's where we are in society apparently. So.
And some great work in the booth from our friend Juliet. Bonjour, Juliet. Yes. Getting some great photos to, you know, compliment what we're talking about for those watching on YouTube. We are indeed out of time, but we will be back next week. But for the rest of the summer, we're going to be on Mondays at 4 o'clock Pacific. We'll be back on Tuesdays after Labor Day. I understand how confusing that can be. It's for a very important reason. My son has swimming lessons. That's actually the only reason why this is happening. But we'll be on Mondays for the next few weeks for next week and all through August. And then we'll be back on Tuesdays in September. So see us Monday at 4 o'clock. Until then, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And Chelsea, where do people find you?
At Chelsea Galicia.
Tamara.
Find me on YouTube at Hey Tamara.
And S-Man.
You can find me on Twitter at S-Man80.
All right. We will see everybody Monday at 4 o'clock. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.